You're listening to eDarris.com.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed His miraculous speech upon the heart of Sayyidina Muhammad Mustafa Mujtaba sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran is divided in 114 chapters. Inshallah ta'ala, tonight we begin with the 23rd chapter of the Quran, which is titled as Suratul Mu'minun. The word Al-Mu'minun in the Arabic language means the believers, people of Iman. And the reason for this name is that right from the inception, the opening verses of this chapter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the quality and the character of the people of Iman. And a very unique beginning to this beautiful chapter of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins with praising the people of Iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, which means, successful indeed are the believers. Successful indeed are the believers. أَفْلَحَ in the Arabic language means to be successful or success. And Al-Mu'minun means the people of Iman. Now, who are the successful people? Who are the people of Iman? At the very outset, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the beginning, describes the characteristics of the believers, that who are the true believers, who are the people of Iman. And the main description that is given in the Quran is in the second ayat of this surah. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. The people of Iman are those who show complete humility, complete submissiveness in their salah. And so basically the people who pray their salah with khushu', people who pray their salah with khushu'. Now khushu' is an Arabic word. And just to simplify and make it easy for people to understand the meaning of khushu', khushu' means to produce quality salah. Khushu' means quality salah. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Khashi'un means that you give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala salah which is of outstanding quality. Very beautiful salah, outstanding quality. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, khushu' in your salah. Now, what are the key ingredients if we want to make our salah as described in the Quran, filled with khushu'. Scholars have explained this and have shown us many different methods that can be applied. And inshallah ta'ala, if Allah wills, we will complete everything that is mentioned in the books and what the scholars have to say. But inshallah, before we delve into this very important topic, how to attain devotion, concentration, how to maximize your salah and to make it into a quality salah, before we talk and go into this tartib methodology, perhaps it's very important for us to understand the historical significance of salah. First, we have to understand the history of salah, the historical significance of salah. If we look into the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is filled with challenges. Filled with challenges, subhanallah, in the 63 years of life that is given to him. And just pick out one leaf from his life, extraordinary life. If we look into the 11th year of Nabuwat, 11th year of prophethood, that year has been named as Aamul Huzn, the year of pain, the year of taklif, the year of difficulty for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Scholars have explained and have given us the reasons as to why this year was Aamul Huzn, the year of pain and grief. In order for us to understand this, what is important is that let us relate to the human side of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam first. Of course, we know that he is a Nabi. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam performed miracles, that he is Imamul Anbiya. But let us look at the human side of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so that we can understand what is meant by Aamul Huzn. Let us begin by understanding the first difficulty that came to him on the 11th year of Nabuwat prophethood. His wife, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, passed away. His wife passed away. Now, understand, who is Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha and the relationship that she had with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha is that fortunate lady that Allah had blessed her to spend 25 years of her intimate life with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How many years?
25 years.
Can brothers lift up their hands that have been married now for more than 25 years? How many? Hi, bye, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But Ibrahim, bye, mashallah, mashallah. But brothers will agree, I think the majority of us here, the majority of us, the youth, the young that are sitting here, 25 years spending time with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, intimate relationship. She was the shoulder, the rock for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was the pillar of support for Rasul sallallahu alayhi. She was the mother of all his children. The mother of all his children, except for Hazrat Ibrahim. She was everything to him. In fact, when Nabuwat was given to him, He came to Bibi Khadijatul Kubra and said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to me the ayats of the Quran, verses of the Quran, and being appointed as a Nabi, who do you think will accept me? My people, will they accept this message? She gave comfort to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she said, of course, oh my dear husband, and I am the first to accept your message. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. She said, I am the first to accept. She is the first woman to embrace Islam. First. This dynamic lady, very powerful woman. And all of a sudden, 11th year of Nabuwat, subhanallah, ajal comes and she passes away. Very difficult moment for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very difficult. Allahu Akbar. When your partner goes, it's very difficult. And then thereafter, in the same year, his uncle Abu Talib, again a powerful man. Abu Talib was just not his uncle, but like a father to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who raised him, who shielded him. He had that political clout in Arabia, and he gave the green light to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do as you please, I am there to support you. No one will stop you. Go and preach. I will deal with the Quraysh. I will speak to them. They would respect him. He is from amongst the Quraysh. Very powerful man. He loved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than his own children. More than his own children. It is said that when children would come to eat, he had a big family, he would save food for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and with his own hands he would put luqma in the mouth of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The father of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And he passed away. Thereafter Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided, let me go to the Banu Thaqif, let me go to the people of Taif and invite them to Islam, thinking that they will understand. And of course we know what had happened. They showered at him with stones and Allahu Akbar pelted him with stones. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bleeding, blood coming out from his body, and looking at the people of Taif, feeling dejected, demoralized, that what kind of people are they? That a Nabi comes to them and this is how they treat the Nabi of Allah. All alone. Nobody was with him. Family members have passed away. This is what the people of Taif did. Subhanallah. At that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to console his Nabi. He wants to console his Nabi. With all the difficulty, the hardship that is there, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given the gift of Mi'raj. With that difficulty, with hardship comes ease. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given this invitation and subhanallah uplifted, shan ke saath upar, with honor. He went up to the heavens. He was titled as Imamul Anbiya. All of the prophets prayed namaz salah behind him. In the heavens, the prophets were waiting for him to come, and all of the prophets made salam and istiqbal to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He met Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. He saw the angels. He saw Baytul Ma'mur. He saw Jannah. Subhanallah, Allah gave him a maqam that he came to a location that none from the creation of Allah has been there. that even Jibreel-e-Amin said that now I can't continue with you. This maqam, this platform is only for you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the opportunity to get close. Subhanallah. And he made kalam with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the heavens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the magic pill. Allah gave him the magic pill. The magic pill. We are all looking for a magic pill. Zara insan mota ho jata hai, kehta hai koi magic pill. Hum khate rahe, peete rahe, we want the magic pill. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a gift. Allah could have given him the gift in Medina Munawwara, in Makkah Mukarrama, close to the mountains of Safa, Hira. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have given him this gift anyway, but Allah chose the heavens, Sidratil Muntaha. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the gift of salah to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does that mean, my respected brothers? The scholars have mentioned that giving salah to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after enduring great difficulty and hardship, great difficulty and hardship, this is a lesson given to the followers, to this ummah, that your only solution and your resolve, in dunya you will face difficulty, you will face challenges, hardship, you will go through difficult hurdles. Don't run to anyone first, run to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via your salah. Salah has the power to remove all your difficulty. You can overcome all the challenges, all the difficulties, everything. Cancer ho, ya fir samne prison ho. Whatever that you can imagine. Allahu Akbar. Have faith, have iman, have yaqeen upon the message of the Quran. And Allah is saying that this magic pill, your shifa, your cure, your difficulty will be removed first by you engaging in salah. Get connected first to your salah and produce that excellent level, that quality of salah, and then you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist you. Why? Because at the end of the day, everything is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Throughout the seerah, look at the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My respected brothers and elders, go and ask that father, Allah save us all, and go and ask that mother, ask that father, the pain, that anguish, that difficulty that he had to go through when lifting up the janazah of his son. Is there a greater burden for a father than to come to the qabristan and to give a shoulder to his babe, to his young child, to his son, to lift up the janazah of his son? How difficult it must be. We can't even, it's unimaginable. Go and ask that mother how it must be. The difficulty. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at his life. His son Ibrahim passes away. Sahaba-i-kiram ajma'een would say that, we would describe him, we would see that tears were streaming away from his eyes, flowing. And we said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, you are crying so much. And he said, this is due to the pain in the heart. This is due to the pain in the heart, which is natural. Allah's Nabi even went through that difficulty. We need to understand at the human side, to understand the difficulty that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through, so that Allah's Nabi is the best model for us. it becomes easy for us to look at our Nabi and then to follow his pattern. To follow his pattern. This is the system. If he didn't go through any difficulty, how could we perceive what to do and what when to do, whatever difficulty comes to us, by iska ilaj kya hoga, what do we do? But everything is in the seerah. And then on one side, his son has passed away. The kuffar exploits with the situation, and they utilize this event with launching a campaign to taunt Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. On one side, the son has passed away, and now the kuffar are doing mashwira to launch a campaign to taunt him. And they were jeering and laughing at him, and they were saying, "Ha, he's abtar now, he's abtar, he's abtar." What did they say? He is abtar. And abtar means someone who is cut off. Someone who is cut off. Someone who is now discontinued. Someone who is discontinued. So they said that no progeny, no legacy for this man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They started saying, "Fear not, everything will come to an end. He hasn't got any children. His son passed away. Everything will end. These followers slowly will fizzle out and they will die. There is no Islam. Islam will die out." They started calling him Abtar when his son had passed away. Again, how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala console his Nabi? What zamzam water was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses of the Quran, "O Muhammad, worry not," sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. "Fasalli li rabbik." What did Allah say? "Fasalli li rabbik." One harf. "Fasalli li rabbik." The first command, Allah is saying, "Don't worry, O Muhammad. Let them call you after the difficulties that you are facing. What are you to do? Stand in front of your Lord in Salah." Ajib. "Fasalli li rabbik." His son has passed away. The kuffar are taunting him. Allah is saying, "Fasalli li rabbik." Stand in Salah in front of your Lord. Worry not. Everything is for you. "Fasalli li rabbik." This is only for a brief moment. "Fasalli li rabbik." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat of the Quran, "وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَكُولُونَ." O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know that your chest is tight. Your chest is tight of what they say about you, بِمَا يَكُولُونَ. Allah says, "فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ." Allah is saying, worry not, do sajda. We know that your chest is tight. You know, when someone is going through difficulty in life, Allahu Akbar, he feels as if he's being suffocated. He feels that he's being suffocated. This is what the Quran is saying. Allah is saying, we know that you feel suffocated. Because what they are saying, worry not. وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. All you have to do is just do sajda. وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. And so understand, my respected brothers and elders, that this ni'mah, the blessing of salah that is given to us, it is not a burden, but rather a magic pill. A magic pill. Ek aisi dawai Allah ne is ummat ko di hai. Wallahi lazim. That with your own heart, with your iman, with your yaqeen, communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will see with the intention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist you. Something that is very, very important we need to understand, my respected brothers. We have to make our salah. We have to make our salah. Namaz ko banane ki zarurat padti hai. The problem today is that it's a routine exercise. Remember in the last session I said that namaz has, wuzu has an impact on your namaz in your salah. Do good wuzu and you see your salah will be good. You see your salah will be very good. The ulama have mentioned, my respected brothers, that for salah, the key ingredients are that you keep your mind free, that you keep your heart free when you come for salah. Keep your heart and mind free. Understand this. Very important. Keep your mind and your heart free when you come for salah. Make your salah an event. An event that you are looking forward to. Imagine, if you start work at 8 o'clock a.m. and your work is a 10 minutes drive, and you know that if I leave house 7:45, inshallah, I'll get there by 7:55, 5 minutes, then sharp dot on 8 o'clock, I'll be at work. So if your work starts at 8 o'clock and it's a 10 minutes drive, will you wake up at 7:40? You might get somebody waking up at 7:40, right? We live in a funny world. Huh? We live in a funny world. Subhanallah. I remember when your students, you know, in Darul Uloom, I won't even mention his name, mashallah, he's a great alim. But in the first year of Darul Uloom, you had the 6 year students coming to wake you up for Fajr. Coming to wake you up for Fajr. And so, one friend who was in my class at that time, he said to me, you know, Allah, give me the reward for my salah. I said, why? Allah will give you the reward for your salah. He goes, no. When that person from Bukhari salah, when he comes to wake me up for Fajr, he says, please, please wake up for salah. Please, otherwise we will get in trouble. Please. And then I look at his face and I feel pity on him. And I feel so sorry for him that I wake up and I do my wuzu and go for salah. So that's when you are young, 17, 16, my youth. And so I said, no, you know, you must make the right intention. He says, no. Wo bichara Bukhari wala chehra aisa banata hai, rehm aati hai us par. Kari sahab usko lakri se marenge, danda marenge. I mean, those days, so in the early 80s, MashaAllah, Qari sahab used to have a pipe. He used to have a pipe, subhanAllah. And then what used to happen is that, subhanAllah, the students were all under control. He used to come 8:20. He used to come 8:20. And everybody would wake up fast. How fast? He would come and just rev the engine. Rev kete? Is this what you call it? Rev the engine. And so, boom. Boom, boom, and you see Allahu Akbar, the students are running in the passage quickly, and some even come and sit in the class without wuzu. Qari sahab will take his pipe out. This was the fear that he had. Ajeeb, but khair, we won't go into that. But you won't wake up at 7:40, will you? You will make that a preparation. Why? It's money. It's your work. You'll wake up 45 minutes before, you'll wake up 1 hour before, by put on your clothes, mashallah, have your breakfast, make sure you dress up properly, do everything, and then everything is timely, then you go to your work. Now compare your work schedule to your first Fajr prayer in the morning. You will find some people, mashallah, but you'll find some people that are wrestling and fighting with the sun. What time does the sun come out? What time does the sun come out? The sun comes out 8 o'clock. Don't worry. It takes me 5 minutes. Don't switch on the light. I'm just quickly doing wuzu. Coming back. And you know, eyes, one eye is closed, one eye is washing like this. You know, Ajib, mashallah, this great karamat in his wuzu. How he does wuzu. Quickly come, pray namaz. What kind of salah is that? There is no salah. That is not salah. In a way, that is a mockery. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Scholars are saying, make your salah an event. Free your heart and free your mind, especially 1 hour, half an hour before salah, and be mentally prepared that I need to pray my salah. And so when you come for salah, the first thing you should do is switch off your mobile phone. Switch off your mobile. Even better, put your mobile phone in the car. No disturbance, put your mobile phone in the car. Example, you know, you might come and you say, MashaAllah, I've done wudu, there's still 10 minutes for namaz. And then you say, oh, let me just, you know, send a text. So he's sending a text to his friend. Listen, I'm going for Isha now. And that Mauli Muhammad has to do a bayan and we have to sit, you know. So when we finish, where are we going to eat? And zoom, send. Huh? Now he says, oh, namaz time, switch off the mobile, or put it on mute or whatever. Now you see how shaitan plays with your mind. And he's saying, Allahu Akbar. And then the phone vibrates. The phone vibrates and he's vibrating in his salah. Where are we going to eat? Now the shaitan is telling him, you send a text message, it must be from him. Is it that, I don't want to promote anybody. Is it that restaurant, this restaurant, that restaurant? Which restaurant? Now for 4 rakats, he's thinking, the shaitan has taken his mind away. Little things. Little things, but they mean a lot. They mean a lot. Now your full attention is there. Ajib, this is why you see. Don't mess around with, switch it off. Switch it off. Even when the phone vibrates, it will affect you. You'll wonder, who is it? What is it? Emergency? Kya hai? Kya nahi hai? Shaitan will make something small, very big in front of you. You will lose complete attention and concentration in your salah. Free your mind and free your heart. So much so that if there's a need for you to eat or to go for istinja, fuqaha say eat or go for istinja, then come for salah. Free yourself completely. So there is concentration. It's a Saturday night and your favorite team is playing football. And you know Maghrib time, the Muazzin is going to give azan. You know, it's 2-1. It's 2-1. And you're there, you know, what's going to happen now? Saying, oh, Muslim, Muazzin will also Rafiq by azan denge. He's okay because he takes 10 minutes. He's okay, he takes 10 minutes. But not okay right now because 10 minutes can be too long. We need to go back. Rafiq bhai, Jazakallah, you're coming. You give me that heat. And then he's watching football. He's watching football. And then he needs to go to Salah. Imagine. How the shaitan, really we are laughing, but this is something very important. People have experienced this. People have seen, give their own experience. Or you watch a film, even worse. Allah save us. You see shooting and beating up somebody and all sorts, and you're in your salah and all the scenes are coming. This actor is doing that, this actress is doing this, and the scenes are there. And then you're imagining, oh no, it's 2-1. Do you think it's going to be 2-2? Or is it going to be 3-2? 10 minutes, they could do it. They did it last year. You know, they'll do it. You're thinking now, your salah is gone. Your salah is gone. Allahu Akbar. Why? Why? Imagine, 23 hours you give to dunya. How many hours?
23 hours.
If you give your first salah 10 minutes, which we don't. If you give your first salah, 10 minutes, 10 times 5, 50. 50 minutes, can we not fight the shaitan and dedicate our salah only to Allah? Full concentration to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please bear with me, inshallah, there's 2 points which are critical for us to understand in salah. This is not a topic that I can just quickly, you know, finish up in one session. It's not like that. It takes a few sessions to cover everything. But very important, understand, when you say Allahu Akbar, what it means. And sometimes what happens, my respected brothers, is that you're watching TV, you've decided you're not going to pray Salah with Jamaat, and then the TV is switched on, and you say, don't change the channel, leave the volume loud, I'm praying Namaz in the next room. And he's praying Namaz and wants to hear the commentary. So people do that. Really, people have actually come and said this. You know, Allahu Akbar, I'm actually hearing what's happening there. He's saying, reading Surah Fatiha, but your one ear is there. This is no salah. This is no salah. Now understand, my respected brothers and elders, just 2 points for us to take with home. The first thing in salah that we say is what? How do we start our salah? Allahu, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. What is the meaning of Allahu Akbar? Allah is the greatest. Majority of you have done the translation, Allah is the greatest. Undoubtedly, without a doubt, Allah is the greatest. Allah is the greatest. But Arabic is a rich language. Arabic is a language of patterns. Arabic is a language of patterns. Every verb, noun, different form, different scale, gives a different meaning. There's balagha to it. Actually, the word Allahu Akbar means Allah is greater. What does it mean?
Greater.
Allah is greater. It is actually a comparative term, not a superlative term. Not a superlative term, it's a comparative term. So for an example, if I say to you, Zayd is faster than Bakr. Zayd is faster than Bakr. But Ahmed is the fastest. Ahmed is the fastest. So Zayd is faster than Bakr is comparative, a comparative term, and the other one is a superlative term. So Akbar is a comparative term. And you will find such examples in the Quran, such examples. And this is due to the fasahat and balaghat of the Arabic language. Now this one understanding of Allahu Akbar will assist you in your salah lifetime. Lifetime, understand this. Allahu Akbar is not just a transitional phrase. It's not just a transitional phrase that you say Allahu Akbar, you're going to change your postures. It's not that. Listen very carefully. Deliberately, intentionally, Allah has chosen the word and put into the heart of His Nabi that when you move from one posture to another posture, it is Allahu Akbar. And Akbar does not mean Allah is the greatest. Allah is greater. And so basically, there is this empty space. There is this blank space that the mind is fighting with. Allah is greater than what? Allah is greater than what? Allah is greater than what? Deliberately Allah is saying, when you say Allahu Akbar, say Allah is greater, because you yourself have to customize the missing blank, fill in the blank that is there. So basically, whatever is disturbing you in your salah, you say Allahu Akbar, Allah is much greater than the distraction of the shaitan that is coming to me in my salah. Allah is greater than the distraction of my friend that is coming to me in my salah. Allah is greater than that TV program that is coming as a form of distraction to me in my salah. So you yourself are to customize and whip that shaitanic waswasa with the name of Allahu Akbar. You understand that, my respected brothers? How beautiful it is. So at every different posture when you go, Allahu Akbar, if something comes, now just think of Allahu Akbar. When you go down ruku, Allahu Akbar. Because shaitan is there. Whatever is coming in your mind from shaitan, think that my Allah is greater. You're customizing your own wasavis to beat that wasavis. My Allah is much greater than this thing that is coming to my mind, whatever it comes. And then you see, inshallah ta'ala, section by section, bit by bit, how you will grip your salah. Thakke to nahi. Just one more point. When we go into our sajda, what is the tasbih that we read? Subhana Rabbiyal A'la. Not Azim, Subhana Rabbiyal A'la. Subhan means, how absolutely perfect is my Lord. What is the meaning of Subhan? Think. How absolutely perfect is my Lord, Subhan Rabbi, Rabbi al-A'la, who is the most high, the most exalted. This is a superlative term because of the Alif Lam there. How absolutely perfect is my Lord who is the most high. You are doing this tasbih whilst your face is in sajda. Imagine you are putting down the most respected part of your body down on the ground. Your honor, your dignity, your everything, who you are is by your face. By passport mein, you have to take your picture. Are you going to put your muscles? What do you put?
Chehra.
And nowadays there's a lot of complications. Eh? No smile, don't open your mouth, nothing background, and pata nahi kya, chasme nikalo, all sorts, I don't know. But what do you show as your identity?
Face.
Imagine you are putting your honor, your dignity, your everything down your nose, your forehead. If there was a possibility to go even lower, you would go lower. Think in your salah what you are saying. You are saying that Subhan. How perfect, how absolutely perfect is my Lord, the Most High. In this manner do your sajda, that you are doing sajda. I am the lowest and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the highest. And these are the two items that we need to take with us today. First, free your mind and your heart. So when you come for salah, think 20-25 minutes, clean your mind. Do muraqabah, clean your mind. Make sure when you say salah, give that salah to Allah. 10 minutes, 7 minutes, your far salah, give it to Allah. Fight with him in ruku, fight with him in sajda, fight with the shaitan in attahiyat. Every sajda, make it yours. Every ruku, make it yours. Every qiyam, make it yours. Think Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Subhan, that is your ammunition. Allahu Akbar is your ammunition. Inshallah, it's going to be difficult for us to digest everything. But inshallah, let us practice this for 1 week, 2 weeks. And inshallah, next week again, very important brothers, please do come, listen. It can be a life-changing experience for all of us.
Inshallah.
Let not the shaitan make us sit at home and lose everything. Please come, 45 minutes, 40 minutes, very important. Insha'Allah ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make our salah, the quality salah, which is the key to success, as mentioned in Suratul Mu'minun. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna, innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. Ya Allah, hamari is majlis ko kabul farma. Allah kareem, jo log baithe huye hai, Ya Allah, hamare baithne ko ek bahana bana de. جنت الفردوس میں ہمیں جگہ دے دے. اے مالک, اے رحیم, اے کریم, یا اللہ تو بے نیاز ہے, یا اللہ ہم تیرے محتاج ہے. یا اللہ ہم نے عشاء کی نماز پڑھی, یا اللہ تو ہی جانتا ہے کہ ہمارا حال کیا تھا اس نماز میں. اللہ ہمیں توفیق دے کہ ہم اپنی نماز میں خشوع کی صفت لا سکے. یا اللہ خاشعین والے بن جائے اور ہماری نماز خشوع والی ہو. یا اللہ ہماری نماز خشوع والی ہو. اللہ کریم, ہم نے جتنی بھی نماز پڑھی ہے, یا اللہ نمازوں کو قبول فرما. اللہ کریم ہماری نمازوں کو قبول فرما. جو بیمار ہے ان کو شفا دے. بہت سو نے کہا ہے دعاؤں میں یاد رکھنے کے لیے, یا اللہ ان کی پریشانی کو دور فرما. یا اللہ غیب کے خزانے سے, یا اللہ ان کی پریشانی کو دور فرما. یا اللہ غیب کے خزانے سے ان کی پریشانی کو دور فرما. یا اللہ ہماری اولاد ہماری آنکھوں کی ٹھنڈک بنے. یا اللہ مسلمان کو خوب, یا اللہ برکت دے. یا اللہ رزق کے دروازے کھول دے. یا اللہ رزق کے دروازے کھول دے. یا اللہ سیریا میں, شام میں خصوصاً, یا اللہ اہل سنہ والجماعت کے اوپر جو تکالیف ہیں, مظالم ہیں, یا اللہ ان کی تو مدد فرما. یا اللہ ان کی تو مدد فرما. یا اللہ ان کی تو مدد فرما. یا اللہ ان کو تو نجات دے. یا اللہ ان کو تو کامیابی دے. یا اللہ ان کی پریشانی کو دور فرما. یا اللہ ان کی پریشانی کو دور فرما. نستغفرک و نتوب الیک. سمعنا و اطعنا, غفرانک ربنا و الیک المصیر. برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین.